Hey, Orthopreneurs, it's Dr. Glenn Krieger here, and let me tell you, the Orthopreneurs 2024 Summit, which is going to be on a Royal Caribbean ship, has taken off. I don't mean literally, but we actually booked an entire ship just for us. We started selling it already, and believe it or not, it's selling out fast. People want to come by themselves. People want to bring their team. People want to bring their families. Remember, there's a kids club there, and there's also an adult-only pool. So you can watch the presentations streaming throughout the whole ship. Imagine sitting in the pool with a drink in your hand, watching someone speak on tips and tricks to help your practice get better while you're sitting knee-deep in a pool with a drink in your hand. Sounds pretty cool, right? Well, you've come to know the kind of meetings we put together, and this one's going to be even more exceptional and even more affordable. Go to opsummit2024.com to sign up now. Is it moral or immoral? Is private equity a good thing, a bad thing? Not discussing that right now. What I'm discussing is the argument that if you're looking at how much you make a year in your practice, and I'll just keep doing that, and that might work great for you. And I'm sure your financial planner has shown you how it will work for you. I'm just telling you, the best deals and the best investments that I've been privy to be put into, thankfully, in the last 2.5 years, all came after I associated with an OSO because of the people I associated with.
This is the Orthopreneur Show with Glenn Krieger, talking about the things you never learned in school, like marketing, management, and leadership.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Dr. Glenn Krieger, your host, and welcome to another edition of your 5-Minute Friday. Now, there's been a lot of discussion for ages about OSOs and DSOs and whether we should or we shouldn't. Are they destroying the profession? Are they not destroying the profession? Are they good for you? Are they bad for you? Existentially, are they threats to orthodontics? Now, a lot of this has been discussed over and over again, but today I want to talk to you about one angle you've probably never heard before that could blow your mind. Now, a friend of mine sent me a simple video by Alex Hormozi. If you know who Alex is, amazing entrepreneur, master, genius, understanding money multiple. Now, before I start, I want to teach you something here, something I heard from somebody really smart, way smarter than me. And I want you to think about this as we go through today's discussion. There's three ways of looking at money. And this was brilliant the way they said it. Poor people look at money as a way of survival and paying bills. That's it. That's what poor people use money for. I got to pay my bills. I got bills to pay. And you know people like that. And maybe we were all there once. I know I was. Middle class people use money as a way of obtaining credit for things they can't afford to buy otherwise. Many of us fall into that category or have fallen into that category. And to be honest, been there too. But wealthy individuals use money to make more money. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? Well, you don't think about it just as paying bills because you're way past that. You're not worried about whether or not you're going to get a mortgage on a home or get that car you want to get or take that trip you want to take because you've got enough. Wouldn't it be great to look at money as a way of just making more money? Now, Glenn, how does this have anything to do with OSOs or DSOs? Well, let me tell you why it plays a very, very big role. Alex Hormozi had in his lecture or his YouTube interview talking a great deal about private equity and how private equity versus, say, commercial real estate, right? How there's a big difference in private equity and that if he could go back and learn more about private equity earlier, he would have. And that making money multiply into more money is really the essence of private equity. And you guys have heard me talk about this a great deal. Forgetting OSOs and DSOs, private equity, if you have the chance to get involved in it, and I can steer you in the direction of some really good private equity that I myself am invested in, private equity doesn't take $10,000 amounts of contribution. You need to be six figures, at least, generally speaking, and higher. But what you get in return is a money manager who knows that if they're on a call with you and the economy is down 18%, this comes word for word from a general partner who manages a fund who said to me, if I get on a call that is 18% down at the market and I say to them, don't worry, we're only down 8%, we're better off, he said I'd be fired instantly. And how many times have you heard that from your financial manager, if that's where you had one? I used to have one. He said, don't worry, market's down a ton, but we're down less. He said, I need to turn a profit. And that's the mindset of private equity. They're looking for ways to turn a profit, even in a down economy. And a top 25% private equity fund, not a top 1%, not a top 2%, not a top 10%, but a top quartile private equity fund typically will return 22 to 43% annual return per year. Now, think about that. Over the course of 3 years, 43%, just think about the math here, folks. Your $100 that you put in there turns into what? Over 200, right? You're more double at 40%, far more than double in if you're going at 43%. If you hold it for 5 years, right, it's way, way more. Remember the rule of 72, folks. If you can take the number and put it into 72, the number you get there is how many years it takes to double. So if you get 12% on your money every year, divide that into 72, that means six. It takes 6 years to double your money at 12%. Well, at 43%, let's be more conservative on this one. Let's call it 25%, give or take, 24%, right? Because 3 times 24 is 72%. So if you're getting 24%, the bottom rung of a top 25% private equity fund, every 3 years, your money's doubling. If you put $100,000 in 3 years, you get $200,000. In 6 years, you have $400,000. And that's the way they run. The Thurston Fund, for instance, in which I'm invested in, run by Dan Davis, amazing fund. If you want to learn more, please reach out to me. His first fund, Fund One, did 3.2x in 3 years. Second fund closed, it's on pace, already seeing exits. And the third fund, which is open now, is hopefully looking at the same thing. But my point here is private equity is a different animal than banking or going to your local financial institution and investing with your financial manager. It's a different animal. Notice I'm not talking about morality or immorality because these are good people, generally speaking. I can vouch for Dan Davis, great human being. So my point here is, it was said to me when I joined an OSO, before I joined an OSO, it was said to me, I would like to mention the name of the person. Oh, I'm going to give him credit because he's a great guy, Chris Benson. And it was before I joined, and he did not try to talk me into any particular OSO. But what he said to me was, when you join that OSO, Glenn, the biggest thing you're going to see is the people you're running with all of a sudden and the deals that start falling into your lap. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, just watch. When you sell your practice and you suddenly get more money in the bank, considerably more money in the bank, the people you're in that group with are going to start talking to you about, because they've all gotten a huge sum of money as well, are going to start talking to you about places to invest your funds. And so everybody here wants to talk about quality of care in OSOs and DSOs, and I will not get into that discussion here. With the exception of my quality of care, my practice has not suffered one drop because I'm allowed to practice the way I want. Beyond that, I'm not talking about it. What I will talk about is, we know this for a fact, unless your practice is growing and you expect it to keep growing at 20, 25% per year growth year over year over year for years and years, I did the math. You cannot come out ahead by owning your practice if you're looking at the money only. 10 years from now, you'll be better off taking a lump sum payment and investing it properly with a decent return than you will be taking your money out every year at regular income rates, I might add, as opposed to long-term capital gains for your investments, right? You will always come out in advance, with very few exceptions, by taking a lump sum and investing it properly now and letting it invest over the next 10, 15, 20 years, then you will be taking that income in pieces while inflation is playing games with you as well. So my point here in all of this is, you get this lump sum of payment, you're lumped into a group of doctors who've also gotten lump sums of payment, you're around people who are great at investing because they find you, and all of a sudden you're in commercial real estate, you're in private equity, you're in venture capital, you're in startups, and you're making your money multiply in many, many places. Now, if you're practicing alone and you're doing that now, good for you, but I'm not talking about $25 or $50 or $75 or $100,000. I'm talking about a lot more than that, that allows you the opportunity to spread it out, in addition to the equity you have in a private equity-backed OSO or DSO, which is likely going to turn, in addition to if you're in a joint venture model like Smile Doctors offers, and again, full transparency, I'm with Smile Doctors, but if you're in a joint venture model where you have the opportunity to continue getting profits every single year in your practice, if you want to know more, talk to me about it. My point in all of this is, Alex Hormozi hit the nail on the head. If you're going to be around brilliant individuals who are successful business people, because unsuccessful people don't get bought by private equity. So all the people in your private equity backed OSO or DSO have sold their practices. They're individually very smart people. They all have money because they got it. And now they're giving you hints and you tips and you introductions to people that I would never have met otherwise. So Chris Benson, you were on the money 100% when you talked about private equity opens doors. Is it moral or immoral? Is private equity a good thing, a bad thing? I'm not discussing that right now. What I'm discussing is the argument that if you're looking at how much you make a year in your practice, and I'll just keep doing that, and that might work great for you. And I'm sure your financial planner has shown you how it will work for you. I'm just telling you, the best deals and the best investments that I've been privy to be put into, thankfully, in the last 2.5 years, all came after I associated with an OSO because of the people I associated with. So again, please, don't make this a mono-dimensional argument about quality of care. Because those who are speaking the loudest against OSOs, hint, they're not in OSOs. So I'm going to tell you all about orthodontics and how horrible it is, even though I'm not an orthodontist. Lots of credibility there, okay? So again, do I have a vested interest in if you go join an OSO? If it ain't Smile Doctors, no. I'm just telling you, open your damn eyes and look at the opportunities that stand in front of you from a financial perspective. Because what I don't want is for you to come to me 20 years from now, Glenn, if only I'd known. Well, you've been warned. You've been told 50 times. You don't have to join an OSO or DSO. Whether it's good or bad for orthodontics, that's not this discussion now. I'm just telling you, open your eyes and look at the financial opportunities if money matters to you. If you practice because you just want to change the world and money doesn't matter, then ignore this message. But as my children learned from the time they were little kids, daddy wants to make meaningful change in his work. When he helps people, he wants to help make meaningful change in this world through his work. But why does dad go to work? And his little kids, they raised their spoons and said, to make money. Because if I wasn't making money, I'd be home with my family, having fun, or spending time with my wife. I go so I can pay my bills and have a free financial future. Listen to that alliteration. All right, if you want to reach out to me, hit me up. I sure as heck hope you're going to the summit. Go to opsummit2024.com. I think we're closing on 1,000 people on this boat so far. It's going to be ridiculous. And best of all, you're going to be running with a lot of people who can open a lot of doors for you. So go to opsummit2024.com and just wishing you all a great day. And I hope you enjoyed the fire and brimstone, because I am getting damn upset about all the people who aren't involved in private equity talking you out of why you should possibly avoid making what could be one of the best moves of your entire life. I just wish they'd stop talking about it. Have a great day.